the fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
Hello, America, and welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. So glad that you've joined us today. Boy, we've got a lot to talk about. The radicals are becoming so incredibly radical that the left better wake up. I should say the Democrats better wake up, because they are coming for you now. Ocasio-Cortez, looks like she's going to run for Chuck Schumer's seat. Oh, I bet that makes him happy. Oh, I bet he's thrilled about that. We'll have that and a little talk about the latest in abortion. Just when you thought it couldn't get worse, oh, it has. We begin there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, let me tell you a little bit about our sponsor this half hour. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. You can trust them with your biggest investment. That is what your house is. It's your biggest investment. And we just look for a real estate agent, somebody who is going to handle that transaction, you know, by what? By asking friends. Hey, you know anybody? Yeah, I got a cousin who just started. No, that's not the way you handle your biggest investment. You interview. You get the right person. Now, we've done a lot of this work for you. We still want you to do your own homework. But we have found the best real estate agents all across the country. Hopefully, we have one right in your area that is the best at what they do. Now, we know this is the best because many of these guys outsell all other agents combined in your area. That means they have a system. And I don't mean like, hey, Vito's got a system. It's unbeatable. What I mean is they know how to price the house. They know how to advertise the house. They know how to close on a house. If you're looking to buy or sell, we have realestateagentsitrust.com. Go there now and find the right real estate agent for you. Realestateagentsitrust.com. I want to ask you a question. In Georgia, why are police looking into this at all? In Georgia, authorities are looking for a mother of a baby just a few hours old that was found wrapped in a plastic bag in the woods. Why? Why are we looking for her? To make sure she's okay? Are we looking for her because we want to congratulate her on making such a brave choice? A man came home with his daughters. They were unloading grocery bags from their car at 10 o'clock. They heard a sound in the woods. At first, they just thought they heard an animal in distress. But that's not what they heard. They followed the sound just to see what was going on, and instead of an animal in distress, they realized that it was a human animal in distress. It was a human baby. We went down, we pulled this sack up, and there was a quote, poor little baby wrapped in a plastic bag. We called 911. She was alive. She was crying. And we figured that was a good sign. The man credited his daughters with saving the little girl and acknowledged that it could have been much, much worse. In a news conference on Friday, the sheriff said it was divine intervention. Boy, is that sheriff out of touch. He believes in God. He's talking about God. I bet he's one of these guys who's like, thoughts and prayers to the baby. Georgia has what's known as a safe haven law, which permits the mother of the child to drop her baby off at a hospital, police, or fire station until the baby is 7 days old without fear of any prosecution. But maybe mom didn't know. Maybe there's not enough government programs out there that alerted her to this law. Maybe mom did know, but she didn't really care because, I mean, it's not really a baby. She didn't have the money, even though it's, you know, now federally funded. Maybe she didn't have the money. She didn't have the access. Maybe she was too embarrassed. Maybe she changed her mind at the last minute. When do we stop calling this a fetus, and when do we declare that it's a baby? 5 minutes, 2 hours. We don't even know how old it was when mom dropped the baby off. She might have had the plastic bag ready to go. As soon as she had the baby, she wrapped it up and then walked out into the woods some way and deposited the baby, the fetus, the thing. The baby, by the way, is in stable condition. Now, you think that I'm being sarcastic on all of this, but all of these things are actual questions that we need to answer now. How radical is leftist feminism at this point? How radical has it become? Well, a radical feminist, her name is Sophie Lewis, now describes pregnancy as gestational work and an abortion as an acceptable violence, a form of killing that we need to be able to defend. Well, at least we're now talking about killing. At least she's brought that word up into play. We're facing a terrible attack on abortion. She says the strategies that have been used on the left have tended to include the kind of seeding ground, quote, with her enemies. We tend to say that abortion is indeed very bad, but luckily it's not killing. Luckily it's just a health care right. We have very little to lose at the moment when it comes to abortion, and I'm interested in winning radically, she writes. I wonder if we could think about defending abortion as a right to stop doing gestational work. Abortion is, in my opinion, and I recognize how controversial this is, a form of killing. It is a form of killing that we need to be able to defend. I'm not interested in where human life starts to exist. I see the forms of making and unmaking each other as continuous processes. The other end of the spectrum is learning how to die well and hold each other and let each other go at the end of our lives. Now it's just at the beginning as well. But looking at the biology helps me think about the violence that innocently a fetus meets out vis-a-vis a gestator. The violence is an unacceptable violence for someone who doesn't want to do the gestational work. The violence that the gestator meets is essentially just going on strike or exit that workplace. And that's acceptable violence. In a recent interview, this author summarized by a reporter in The Nation, a very liberal magazine, says that she specifically links family abolition to a radical reconceptualization of pregnancy itself. The act of carrying a child to term, she insists, is work, labor, that has long been exploited and overlooked by the academy, and so is mothering. Boy, I want to have a baby with her. What a good mom she would make. Meanwhile, the radicalization of abortion continues. CEOs from 180 companies, including Twitter, H&M, Slack, Postmates, Yelp, Tinder, Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream, have signed a letter that says it's time for companies to stand up for reproductive health care. Restricting abortion is bad for business. Though the letter doesn't make any real connection between the availability of abortion and the business climate of a particular state. Instead, they claim restricting reproductive freedom is against our values. States that threaten abortion threaten the health, independence, economic stability of our employees and customers. Equality in the workplace is one of the most important business issues of our time. When everyone is empowered to succeed, our companies, our communities, and our economy are better for it. So, wait, restricting abortion is somehow or another restricting your ability to succeed? Restricting access to comprehensive reproductive care, including abortion, threatens the health, independence, and economic stability of our employees and customers. Simply put, it goes against our values and it is bad for business. What a surprise. This is coming from Planned Parenthood and the ACLU. And because now the ACLU is involved, and we know that the chairman of Joe Biden's campaign was the exiting president of the ACLU, that has transformed the ACLU into a street riot gang. We're going to be seeing protests on the street for this. We are going to see the left rise up against any of these states. May I just suggest, good. Good. At least they're admitting that it's killing. At least they're admitting now that it's all about business. Because that's all that Planned Parenthood is. Abortion restrictions, they are bad for business if you're Planned Parenthood. Now, on the other side, without any sense of shame or irony, New York, which is allowing abortion up to the last 5 minutes of birth and possibly even after, they've just passed a new law that says you can't declaw your cat. Now, you might have heard this story before, because it came out over the weekend, but let me kind of go into how the New York Times talked about declawing your cat without any sense of, wow, maybe we have things upside down. Without any of that, let me describe what the New York Times did this weekend, and I'll go there next. A break for 1 minute here to tell you about Relief Factor. If you're in pain, the best thing you can do is take a 3-week quick start of Relief Factor. Now, this is for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You take these, I think it's 3 or 4 pills. I don't know, I jam them in my mouth. I take them every single day, and you remarkably will feel better. And I should say, in all honesty, only 70% of those who take it feel better. I did not think I would be one of those people. I am. I've been taking it every day for 18 months, and I feel dramatically better. ReliefFactor.com. Try it for 3 weeks. If it doesn't work, you're out $20. True. If it does work, you get your life back. Feel better. Be able to do the things you want to do. Try it for 3 weeks. Call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Or click on ReliefFactor.com. We pause for 10 seconds. Station ID. Okay. If you remember right, Twitter just told Abby Johnson and I think Lila Rose that they can't advertise on Twitter, they can't promote on Twitter, and the reason why is because they show what abortion procedures are like. You know, they'll have little drawings of, you might have seen them last couple of weeks. People are you know, doing clinical drawings of what happens in an abortion procedure. They're not graphic, they're just true. And the social media has come out and said you can't share that. In fact, Twitter has come out and said it's so offensive that you have to remove it from your own website if you would like us to consider doing anything with you. So wait. They're not allowed to talk about abortion. They're not allowed to show sonograms, and they're also not allowed to talk about Planned Parenthood. But other than that, these pro-life groups, they can use Twitter all they want. They just have to remove that from their website and from all their tweets. So it is apparently too jarring to see what happens with cats, or I mean with people. But you can have that drawing with cats in the New York Times. You can explain the procedure on cats, on what they do to declaw, but we dare not even discuss what happens to humans if you try to kill it. They went into great detail about what happens with cats and how the cats are declawed and what that means to the poor cats. And it's all for, of course, our vanity. It's because we put our furniture over cats. It's kind of like how we put our careers over babies. Which one is more grotesque? We love our cats. I don't. I hate cats. But many people strangely find something attractive about cats. And so, yeah, they don't want them destroying the house. Well, I don't want my dog destroying the house either. That's why he goes outside. That's why I teach him not to chew on things. I can't help it that cats are just too stupid. So you... I just do this for the people who actually get the email, the first in line. John Bolt right now, he's the guy that goes through all the email, and he's every time I start in on cats, he's like, oh, dear God, Glenn, don't. Please, you're wrecking my whole day. I'm going to hear nothing but cat stuff. Yeah, well, it's true. They're stupid, and I hate cats.
See, and you're
right, John?
My understanding is that you're actually for declawing just for the torture. You don't even care about the furniture or anything like that. You just want to declaw these cats because you hate them.
Yeah, I'd like to just pick them up out in the wild, you know, and then set them back out.
I love that because it's so anyway, you could say that and people will be legitimately offended by it. But you can talk about a third trimester abortion and you'll get an entire political party that will have absolutely no problem about it a minute before birth or maybe after. That's a standard that perhaps we should reconsider. Doesn't seem morally consistent.
Well, it is so outrageously radicalized now, Stu, that you can't do an anti-Hitler painting on eBay an anti-Hitler propaganda poster and have it actually exist on eBay. This is the second time they've taken my painting down, my 10-hour meme, where it's an anti-Hitler poster. Hitler didn't look like that. That's the way in all of his propaganda. The Jews were made to be seen. And it says, as he's reading 50 million killed, next time I should just call it Planned Parenthood, you know, as opposed to The Final Solution. That way, if I really want to dumb it down for people at eBay and Twitter and Facebook, it's that way he could get away with it, you see.
So that's pro-Hitler propaganda is basically what you're saying there? That's pro-Nazi propaganda?
Anti. No, it's anti. And we got a letter in from eBay, and they said that we realize there's historical significance of World War II, and there's many military collectors around the world, and some World War II related historical items are allowed, but this one isn't. This is not about World War II. This is about the world war that we're in right now to save freedom, freedom of speech and freedom of life.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
All right, let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. It is Simply Safe, a Michigan woman. She's at work. She gets a call. Hello. Yes. Hi, it's the friendly people at Simply Safe. We're monitoring your home. Oh, you're the people that do it for $14.99 a month. Yes, that's us. I love you people. You are so great. I love your system. It's easy to use. My husband, who's a complete dolt. By the way, what are you wearing? Ma'am, I think that's entirely inappropriate. Well, anyway, he installed it in 30 minutes, and it's fantastic. So, how can I help you? Ma'am, there's a man in your house. A man? I'll be right over. No, ma'am, he's breaking into the house. No, it's got to be our landlord. He comes over from time to time when my husband's out of town. No, ma'am, look... We're watching him on the video camera. He's now going after your dog with a lamp. This story is true. She finally said, okay, that's not somebody I know. And they called police, 911. They got there. So here's the thing. Get simplysafe.com right now.
And get blazetv.com. Go to blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code free speech. One word, $30 is the savings.
Okay, listen, Father's Day, give Dad the gift packed with incredible Omaha Steaks. All dads love great steaks, right? So go to omahasteaks.com and enter the promo code BECK in the search bar, and you'll find 74% off on their Father's Day Steak Fix gift package. It's a $235 value. It's only $59.99 with two tender fillets, two bold top sirloins, two savory pork chops, four Omaha Steak Burgers, four massive gourmet jumbo franks, four crispy chicken fried steaks, all beef meatballs, four premium chicken breasts, four caramel apple tartlets for dessert, a packet of the Omaha Steak signature seasoning, plus four extra Omaha Steak Burgers free. Again, order now and you'll get this exclusive Omaha Steaks Father's Day Steak Fix package valued at $235 for $59.99. Just go to omahasteaks.com and type code BECK into the search bar. Don't wait. Offer ends soon. Get the Omaha Steaks Father's Day Steak Fix for $59.99.
Welcome to the program. It's Glenn Beck. Stu Bergier is back from a couple of days off, and Mr. Pat Gray joins us. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Glenn. Stu. Welcome back,
Mr. Gray.
Hey, this is kind of cool, because after complaining about some of the incomprehensible decisions by the Radio Hall of Fame, like last year, for instance, I'll give you an example. The Fabulous Sports Babe was inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame last year. Now,
good for her.
Yeah, that's great. There's nothing wrong with the Fabulous Sports
Babe. She's played a big role in this industry.
She's played a huge, well, yes. But other people have, too.
For sports.
And, you know, I mean, here's the thing about Glenn Beck, for instance. You're not fabulous.
Oh,
you don't know anything about sports.
Right.
And you're certainly not a babe. But now
I'm transitioning.
But now you have indeed been nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame.
Congratulations,
Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You wouldn't have been anywhere near here without Pat or myself.
Exactly.
I'm only hoping that I win seriously because Don Imus is still alive and I want him to induct me.
Wouldn't that be cool? Is he really still alive?
Not
wow.
He is strangely still alive.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah. Not literally. Yeah, you mean his legend is still alive?
No, he's
actually
breathing?
Still alive. No.
Yes. Yeah. He sent me, and now try not to imagine this,
okay,
but he sent me a picture of the family on a beach in Mexico. And all I could
Nobody
think
wants
of
to see
was,
no.
was Don without a shirt in Mexico.
No, honey,
and
no.
I thought maybe this is why everyone's fleeing for our border.
You may be onto something there. You might be.
Yeah.
So you've been nominated in the category of active network syndication 10 years or more. And I think the audience votes on this. So
no. They don't.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
Really?
No.
Mm-mm. You sure?
No, they have a special category every year that they select a few people and they can vote.
Okay.
This one is going to the Academy. This is going to like 900 people.
Okay, that hurts.
I don't know who they are.
That hurts your chances.
Because everyone in the industry hates you. So
the nasty hatred might get in the way. Uh-huh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I do get that impression. I don't know why.
Oh, I
don't know. I really don't know why.
And we all
why?
Do. The rest of us do. We understand it fully.
Why? Why? I don't know what I've done.
The ongoing way you've acted over a very long period of time.
Yeah.
Well, no, wait a minute. I agree with that, 25 years ago. I don't agree with that today.
Very nice. That's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting, isn't it?
Isn't that interesting?
That's an interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting
that point brings
on Glenn
interest
Beck.
From us.
Also nominated in your category.
So I don't. So hang on just a second. Mm-hmm. So I don't. Hmm. It's not like I don't go to all the cool kid parties.
Yeah.
So I don't. I don't.
You don't.
I'm
go
busy.
Makes
work.
It sound like you're invited and chose not to go.
Okay.
That's not the way I would phrase it. I mean,
this is really.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
Is really
you don't
nice.
Know about all the cool kid parties,
right?
Because they're not talking to you about them. So
exactly, and I understand that nobody's ever in my entire life talked to me about cool kid parties. Mm-hmm. I was seven, and nobody wanted to invite me to the cool kid parties. Mm-hmm. Well, any parties, even the non-cool kid parties, I wasn't invited to.
The nerd kid parties you stayed home for. So,
so we agree, Glenn, is what you're saying, that no one likes you.
So we agree. You're not going into the Radio Hall of Fame.
No,
it's
but
over.
The fact that you're not
yes,
me,
I will bet if I were a betting man, I would bet not a chance.
This is the first nomination, though, right? So at least you've gotten that. You can say that now.
It is my first nomination.
Once nominated.
Pretty cool.
Radio Hall of Fame. It's kind of cool.
Who else is nominated?
Let's see. George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM.
Sure.
I think he's going to win.
He will. John Tesh for Intelligence for Your Life. John Tesh is a really good guy.
That would be.
He's a good guy.
He's
a really good guy.
Okay. Wait.
And
people like him.
If we're voting. Wait. If we're voting on people we like, doesn't that kind of violate the whole idea of the Radio Hall of Fame? I mean, it's not like, the thing in the Radio Hall of Fame is going to say, and everybody really liked him.
Well, like people hated Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb, right?
Yeah.
But their talent overwhelmed that dislike to get them into the Baseball
Hall
of Fame.
Let's not go any further on this.
And the last nomination in your category is Kim Commando from the the Kim Commando show.
The computer. So there you go.
So there you go.
Never listened to Kim Commando. I just know that she's been on forever.
Yeah. She's big computer help show.
Now, because of this other nomination that finally happened, I feel better about your nomination finally taking place. Mark and Brian were finally nominated. Mark and Brian should have been nominated
Harris.
A long time ago. And Jack
long
Harris.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jack
awesome.
Harris.
Yeah, Jack Harris. That's great.
He has been.
Isn't that awesome?
See, you know what the thing about Jack Harris is? Everyone loves Jack Harris. right? Everybody.
Yes.
He's awesome. Everybody loves the guy.
He always goes to the cool kid parties.
Yes, always. He's the coolest kid in town. There's no question about it. He has always been, has been forever. Yeah. And then there's you. Mm-hmm. There's a different story to be told about that particular nomination.
So if George Norrie suddenly mysteriously wound up, you know, like washing on the shore from some sort of boating accident or something, would he still be able to be inducted in the Hall of Fame?
Well, yes, but just, it would be a different category, though, right? Because he wouldn't be an active personality.
It wouldn't be active anymore. No. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It'd be long-standing category. Network syndication, I think.
I wouldn't go boating anywhere, George Norrie. I'm just saying.
I don't think it's exclusionary. I think you could actually both go in, you know, if you're both liked enough.
Yeah.
But, of course, that's not the case. But it is possible. It is possible to happen.
Okay, so it's here is my guess. My guess is George Norrie.
Yeah.
And I'm not being humble here. Okay. George Norrie.
John Tesh.
No.
No, you don't think so?
Kim Commando, then John Tesh.
Okay.
Then me. Then you.
Because John Tesh is known for many other things, really, I would say, over the radio thing, although he's done that very successfully, too. And then there's you. You know?
You know.
Laugh it up. Yeah, laugh it up.
Then there's Glenn.
Yeah.
So. Laugh it up.
Yeah. Clown.
So if you happen to be one of those 900 people...
Vote John
Tesh. Don Imus is still alive. Wouldn't you want to see Don Imus do one last hair-raisingly mean speech?
And directed at you?
Isn't that worth it?
That might sway
them,
actually.
Yeah, and directed at me. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be worth it?
Has he agreed to do this? I mean, like, I understand he would like to say a lot of mean things about
that
you,
don't. That's a question you don't necessarily ask.
Because he doesn't really like you either. So I don't know that he would lower himself to show up.
Yeah. So you're just not in a good position.
I think Don might do it. He would probably do it on video. Or, you know, etch a message in rocks. Or something.
Mm-hmm.
The audience could throw at me. I'm not sure.
I do not think he has the strength to etch at this point. That's not something Don's capable of, no.
Yeah. Well, but, you know, the thing about Don Imus is there's a possibility that somebody is just acting as Don Imus and writing to me. Because he's gotten very nice.
Oh, that's definitely not Don.
I know.
That's not him.
He's like nice and complimentary and once in a while I'll get just a note that just says, "You still fat?"
Obviously he hasn't turned on his set in a while to know the answer to that question.
No.
So
it's hard to turn on your set when you're under 6 feet of dirt. Like, it's difficult to watch television.
I don't think I want to get but down it's good. Don's it's bad good. Side.
No, I know.
Yeah,
right. So but it is good, Pat, to just reveal your age by using the word "set" when addressing TV. I'm going to warm up the set. Be careful who you're calling old. All right. Thanks so much, Pat. I appreciate it.
No.
You didn't listen to Pat.
Thank you.
No. And I meant that sincerely.
I really appreciate it.
You listen to Pat Gray on some station or some podcast or something. I don't know where. Check your set for details. All right. Our sponsor this half hour is Blinds.com. Blinds.com is a great company that has been in business since, believe it or not, the 1990s online. Now imagine, remember when you had dial-up and it took you forever? I remember the first time I tried to download a picture, and no, it wasn't porn, and it was the first picture that I tried to download, and I remember I started and I sat there for a while, maybe 10 minutes, just looking at it, coming in line by line, and I think it was just green and white. It may have just been green and white at the time, and I said... Well, let's check this after dinner, see how far it's gotten. And that was a miracle at the time. Not really anymore. But what is a miracle is when I was doing that, Blinds.com was starting their online business. Who was ordering blinds back then when you couldn't see them? They had to be really good at service because it took a long time. And so they had to make sure that they were really good at service. They sent you everything in advance, let you look at the colors, let you look at, you know, the actual blind so they could send you the free sample. They still do all of this, by the way, and they've made it super easy. So that's why Blinds.com is now the number one online retailer for blind shade, shutters, drapes, anything for your window coverings. They're the number one online retailer in the world. It's Blinds.com. Use the promo code Beck right now, and you're going to save a buttload of money, plus an additional $20 off if you use the promo code Beck. They have huge site-wide savings right now. Use the promo code Beck. An additional $20 will come off your bill. It's Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Promo code Beck. You know, Americans and particular Democrats need to wake up to the fact that you're seeing the destruction of the Democratic Party. And you're watching it in real time. And you can deny it all you want. But all you have to do is look for the evidence. You know, Jim Acosta said, you know, you conservatives have to remember that you're not always going to be in power. Yeah, I know. That's what I told you guys under the Obama administration. But even when we have power, it doesn't seem like we have power because all the power is shifting to radicals and Silicon Valley. It's not even in Washington anymore. It's the radicals. Let me give you evidence. Ocasio-Cortez is being talked about as running against Chuck Schumer. Now, that's the height of arrogance. And, you know, I hope it happens. Now, how happy do you think Chuck Schumer is about that news? Here he is, the leader of the Senate, a liberal lion. And somebody from his own state is trying to take him out, Ocasio-Cortez. They are eating the Democratic Party. And it's only going to get worse from here. And so when we say freedom of speech, freedom of expression, don't start banning people. Don't do it. I say that for the left just as much for the right. And I will tell you that I listened to Steven Crowder yesterday, and he was talking about how he's getting a lot of response on YouTube from people who don't agree with him. And they're saying, hey, I'm in with you. This is craziness, what's happening. And I'll give you the details coming up in a second. But I want you to know that there are several things that I'd like to ask you to do. One of which is sign up for the Blaze. We've never had a special like this before. And it's because we are really pretty desperate to make sure that we can get a hold of you. We need to be able right now where the algorithms are changing. So our way of communicating to you is being severely hampered. So we need to be able to have a way to contact you. So one of the ways is by subscribing to The Blaze. And when you do that, you help us build a network of voices that will stand until the very last moment. What I want you to do is go to blazetv.com/Glenn. You're going to save $30 off of your subscription for the year. So it's going to cost you $70 when it normally costs, $100 or $99. It's going to cost you $69. And I urge you to do that. Now, there's a couple of other things that you can do. And I really would ask that you would help us on this. iTunes so far has been pretty good. We're not putting all of our eggs in that basket. That's why we lead with a subscription. but we need you to subscribe. It's free. Go to iTunes, look for the Glenn Beck podcast, subscribe, rate, and review. The other thing is go to glennbeck.com and subscribe to our newsletter. It again is free. Subscribe to the Blaze newsletter. Again, it is free. Even if you don't read it, it gives us your address and we'll be able to, in times of an emergency, times when we really need you to back us up, be able to contact you directly. Please do at least some of those things, the ones that are free, but I highly urge you to join theblazetv.com and preserve freedom of speech.
You're listening to Glenn Beck. The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
So there's a couple of things that we want to go over, and it mainly revolves around the wording of things. For instance, how does America really feel about abortion? Stu and I have had a big problem with the way these abortion polls are taken because they're worded in such a way that people understand, the ones who are writing them, it will come out more in their favor. So if you change the wording, how do the polls look for abortion? We go there in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So I've been thinking about next summer that we need to do another big restoring event, and it's kind of been breathing down my back, and I finally kind of all came together in my head recently, and we'll be talking about it as we get closer and we start to confirm some of the things that I want to do. But make sure you have an open space to spend a few days with us next summer. Now, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to really teach the kinds of things that we're going to be restoring next summer. We're going to teach that on this cruise. So we're going on this cruise next spring, and I know not everybody can go, but if you have vacation time and you have the ability to swing it for this cruise, it's all inclusive, including the airfare, the hotels, everything is paid for, and that's unusual. That's not a trip to Disney World. But Bill O'Reilly is going to be there. Stu's going to be there. David Barton will be there. Rabbi Lappin will be there. We'll be at sea with you, and we're going to go to Venice, which is the place that really funded the Renaissance. A lot of the rebels lived in the rich rebels lived in Venice. We're going to go to Athens, which is the birthplace of democracy and a republic. What's the difference? How did it work out? What did the founders think about when they debated and talked about Greece? And then to the Holy Land. We're going to Israel, and that's the foundation of our faith. So you're going to come back with a real understanding of the principles that built our country. Share it with your whole family if you can. It's going to be an amazing cruise. Tickets are going really well and very fast. There's going to be about 3,000 people who think just like you on this cruise through history. Just go to comesailaway.com, learn more, find out all of the details. It's comesailaway.com. You know, the part of the plan with the left, I think, is to make you feel small and insignificant, that there's nothing you can do about it, that it's over. And it's a very small number of people. And the way they do it is they manipulate language. We know this through political correctness. They can manipulate language to get you to go, well, yeah, I guess that's where I'm at. But it's maybe not exactly where you're at, and it doesn't give a fair look at what people are actually feeling. Stu's got some numbers. He's looking at the abortion numbers and how Americans really feel about it with the traditional wording and with new language in the questions.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by this. The big headline was 77% say the Supreme Court should uphold Roe versus Wade, which is amazing considering that's not doesn't seem to be the split of Americans overall. There's a pro-choice, pro-life split that's been pretty stable at about 50-50. For example, in February, they did a poll, are you pro-choice or are you pro-life? It was 47-47. Now, because it's turned into a bigger issue lately, that those polls have moved a little bit, and this poll asked that same question, are you pro-choice or are you pro-life? And it was 35% said pro-life, 57% said pro-choice. So just to set the kind of baseline of this poll, this is a group of people who were polled here that would be to the left of what is considered normal in our debate. So
Okay, wait. Can I ask? The left is looking at this debate. They're not putting any stock into, what the Democrats are saying. All they're doing is they're looking at what the Republicans are doing, which is, quashing abortion in state after state after state. And so it's being billed as, look, we were fine with safe, legal, and rare. But boy, this Trump administration, all these Republicans, they just want to take away every single right on this.
Right.
So is it possible that they're not as far left, they just are buying into the Kool-Aid and drinking the Kool-Aid?
I think that is entirely it. I mean, you see the polling very consistent over a long period of time of it being pretty split between people who consider themselves pro-life or pro-choice, depending on, it's always pretty close to 50-50. 35-57 is a really bad poll for pro-lifers. And that's kind of where the reason why that's important is because they answer the other questions. Remember, these are the same people answering the questions. The people who say they're only 35% pro-life are answering all these other questions. So this is not a conservative-leaning poll. I think that's important to set. So the first thing you realize by going through these numbers is there is no reason to ever ask another group of people in a poll whether they think Roe versus Wade should be overturned, because none of them know what it says. Like, it's just you. Do you think unicorns should be able to hold jobs as accountants? Like, the same value in that question, because really,
I, by the way, am against that. They have hooves, not fingers. How do they enter anything in a spreadsheet?
Well, I mean, obviously we have voice dictation services. We can get into that debate a little bit longer, at another time of the show. You don't know if unicorns can talk. You've never talked to one.
All right. You're right.
Roe versus Wade basically says you can have an abortion in the first trimester. In the second trimester, you start getting into certain restrictions. In the third trimester, a state can pass any restrictions it wants, basically. That it's basically a first term of right to an abortion, if you want to put it that way. There's a lot more detail to it than that. But generally speaking, there's also an argument about viability in there. But generally speaking, that's what it says. Once it's a viable child, absolutely states can restrict it. They can say it's completely illegal in the third trimester. And in the first trimester, they really can't say it's completely illegal. And that's why it's controversial. And that's why these laws that are being passed to restrict it more than the first trimester are going to go to the Supreme Court in theory. And that's going to be the big challenge. That's why these things are going on. So with that being said, what do people actually think about abortion? 9% of people think it should never be legal. 9%, okay? Under any circumstance whatsoever. Another 9% say it should be life of the mother only, the only exception. So now you're at 18% say life or more restrictive. 29% of people say it should only be allowed in the instance of rape, incest, and life of the mother, okay? So now you're at...
That's how many?
29%. So you're at 47% of people who say basically rape and incest and life and that's it. Or more restrictive than that. Okay. So that's, again, if only 35% of these people consider themselves to be pro-choice, or excuse me, pro-life, only 35% say that, but 47% are... At the point where, let's say, George W. Bush's position was rape, incest, life of the mother. right? So, like, I mean, that's a pretty standard way of identifying
my
the pro-life.
Church.
Exactly.
My church is there.
Mm-hmm.
That's where my church is.
Right.
And they would consider themselves pro-life.
And this is why this Roe versus Wade and pro-choice, pro-life thing doesn't make any sense. For example, about a quarter of people who consider themselves to be pro-choice agree with the Mormon church's policy on abortion. Think about that for a second. These terms are completely misused in our society. People who say, you know what, yeah, rape, incest, and life of the mother, a position absolutely associated with pro-lifers, not pro-choicers. About a quarter of people who identify themselves as pro-choice think that should be the law. Like, that is, it's completely misused. Then there's another 23% who say it should be in the first trimester only. And that's essentially the Roe versus Wade standard. So people a lot of times will say, well, Roe versus Wade, that means you're essentially the Democratic Party. Well, it's not at all, right? I mean, you have now 70% of people basically saying, you know, Roe versus Wade is the way to go, which at this point is a massive move to the right. People don't realize that. They say they want to overturn Roe versus Wade. Well, overturning Roe versus Wade is of course something that I advocate for as a pro-lifer. However, going back to Roe versus Wade would also be something you can advocate for as a pro-lifer, because that is a move to the right from where we are, and a massive one. Another 11% saying the first two trimesters, and then at the very end you have what is essentially now the mainstream Democratic position, which is you can have it anytime you want, right? It's up to the mother. It's a choice argument, a pure pro-choice argument. And that is 18% of the population. So think of the way these things are tossed at you in the media. It doesn't seem at all like only 18% of people believe the mainstream Democratic Party view. It seems like something completely...
I don't believe it is 18%.
You think it's lower than that or higher?
Lower. Come on, 18% of Americans... 20% of Americans believe we should be able to kill a baby 5 minutes from birth.
I mean, that's really the only, you can argue this, but I think it's the most consistent position, right? Like if you're saying pro-choice, you are saying the mother has a right to choose essentially when that becomes a being, well, which is a completely ridiculous standard, obviously, because then we can give the mother the right to choose that when the kid is seven, too. It doesn't make any sense. If you're about choice, are you restricting it to birth?
The woman that I just said was in Atlanta that they're searching for, the mother who had a baby, wrapped it in a garbage bag, and then took it out into the woods. It was just a few hours old when they found the baby. Mm-hmm. She might have done it right after birth. Why are we searching for her? To say, oh, good for you. Celebrate your choice.
Yeah, it's a very, very...
Because what's the difference?
Yeah, very similar to what Governor Northam said, which was basically the mother and the doctor should be able to choose whether they want to give life-saving treatment to the baby. So why bother? If the mother obviously chose that she did not want the baby to receive life-saving treatment, so why give it to her? So let me give you some of these... a couple of other things here in this, because this is, I mean, it's really fascinating. Specifics. Pro-life or pro-choice, you need to have an ultrasound before you have an abortion. Would you consider that to be a pro-life or pro-choice view?
I would say that is a pro-life.
Pro-life view, right? That policy, forcing women to look at an ultrasound before getting an abortion, 52% to 43%, a popular policy. In fact, a third of pro-choicers believe that that should be the law. How about a 24-hour waiting period? Again, it's a pro-life law, right? Mm-hmm. 65% say that should be the law. In fact, includes 41% of people who consider themselves pro-choice. How about a law that requires doctors to have hospital admitting privileges? This is seen as one of the most restrictive pro-life laws available. However, 64% of people support it, at least as worded in this poll. And this is one of the things we were talking about earlier, Glenn, about how they word these polls. The poll basically says, should doctors be forced or required to have hospital admitting privileges? This is a law that pro-lifers show, because in Roe versus Wade, there's talk about health restrictions in the second trimester in particular. So that's obviously a pro-life rule. You want to give make the doctors have more medical responsibilities. However, 68% of pro-choice voters think that should be the law, and only 59% of pro-life voters. So it's more
people don't even know what they're
pro-choice.
People don't even know what they're talking about at this point. This is why it's really impossible to have any kind of real discussion with people, because you'll bring a fact up and they'll say, "Well, I don't know about that. I'm just against it because."
Right.
And so you can't really have it's teams. You can't really truly have any intellectual discussions with people because we're being discouraged by it. I want to go back into the language here in just a second. We'll finish up this poll and go back into the language of another poll that we went into yesterday, because I changed the language and I wanted to see if there was any difference. And Stu will give us the results of that coming up in 1 minute. You know what I want for Father's Day? I want time with my kids. And then I would really, really like, I don't know, no vegetables. I just want meat. That's it. Just a meat fest. And you can have a meat fest with Omaha Steaks. Right now, they are taking their Father's Day Steak Fix gift package. It's a $235 value. Listen, this is what you get. Two tender fillets. You get top sirloins, pork chops, four Omaha steak burgers, big, huge, juicy jumbo franks, chicken fried steaks, giant all-beef meatballs, four premium chicken breasts, four caramel apple tartlets for dessert, their signature steak seasoning, and you're going to get an extra four Omaha steak burgers for free. That's a $235 value. It's 74% off for Father's Day. It's only going to cost you $59.99. Dad's going to think that you like broke the bank for this. Omaha Steaks. Go to omahasteaks.com. Type in the code Beck into the search bar. When you search for my name, it will come up to the page with this special. The offer ends really soon. omahasteaks.com. Type in Beck in the search bar and you'll find this special. Today, it is $59.99. Omaha Steaks. Go there now. OmahaSteaks.com. 10 seconds, station ID.
So to do a quick wrap-up of this, Glenn, because if you look at the poll in its entirety, what you see is people do want abortion to be available in some circumstances, but circumstances that are more restricted than they are now. That's the takeaway from it.
So in other words, safe, legal, and rare.
And rare being the one thing that's, I would say, I mean, everyone wants it, you know, if God forbid something's going to happen. I don't know how abortion is safe considering you're intentionally killing one of the things involved in it. But still, yes, they want it to be safe, legal, and very rare. I mean, many people think it should be almost never available, but still consider themselves to be pro-choice, which is bizarre. And what this shows is, of course, that the messaging factor is going the left's way with a massive assist from the media. So let me look at it this way here, Glenn. If you look at the two positions that are being talked about a lot, the extreme positions that are debated, quote unquote, extreme sort of positions. You have the left saying it's available all the way to birth. Okay. It's a woman's right to choose. You can't restrict that woman's right to choose. We have 24 candidates in this race. Every single one of them has advocated for some vision of that, where women would be able to choose the entire time. Right now, what's going on with Republican lawmakers is they're trying to do heartbeat laws, right? Those are the two main positions being talked about at the extremes. Well, right now, if you look at in the poll, it asks all of these questions. It says, what do you think? Should abortion be available all the way to birth? And they say 16% of people say yes to that. So the mainstream 24 candidates, universal agreement, on the Democratic side, only 16% of Americans actually support that position. Now, on the Republican side, it's a heartbeat law. Abortion should only be available until a heartbeat begins about 6 or 8 weeks into the pregnancy, right? 46% of people believe that should be the law. So it's 46 to 16. Yet one side is presented as if essentially it's Adolf Hitler making the policy. The most hateful thing you've ever heard in your entire life. Only 6 weeks. Women might not even know they're pregnant yet. Well, half the country believes that should be the law. Only 16% believe that what the entire Democratic field believes. That, yes, it should be available all the way to birth because at the fundamental level, the mommy gets to make the choice. That is not the way it's presented at all. And it's why I think you see so many people who think that they are pro-choice. I mean, you know, that is just like none of their underlying positions identify a pro-choice viewpoint as it's currently constructed in our political system. But they still believe it.
The media has made pro-choice into extreme positions. And so they think that anything reasonable has to be pro-choice.
Yeah.
Because pro-life is unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pro-life or pro-choice means good. And anything unreasonable has got to come from the other side. So this is reasonable. Rape, incest, blah, blah, blah. It can't be the people on the, you know, on the right because they're unreasonable.
Mm-hmm. And I see this all the time when, you know, we talk to people all the time that are involved in these debates every day. We have people on the News and Why It Matters all the time that kind of cycle in as panelists. And there's people who are talking about these issues every day of their life. Almost universally, when I bring up the point that European laws are more restrictive on abortion than U.S. laws, they're always shocked by that point. Always. You know, here's progressive Europe that's supposed to be so enlightened, and they have more restrictive laws on abortion than we do. People don't even know these things because the media is doing what you just said, saying pro-life is bad and pro-choice is good, period.
Right, and Americans are Puritans. And so why not believe that if the media says it so?
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, did you register to win your new gun from the USCCA yet? Because yesterday, last night at midnight, they gave away a gun. It could be a Glock. It could be a Kimber. It could be an AR-15. The only way you're going to find out is to register. What gun are they giving away today? Text the word GLENN to the number 87222. It's 100% secure. The official rules are on the page. The guns aren't going to last long. They're going to give them away to somebody. The USCCA's Gun A Day giveaway ends Friday, June 21st. Today's gun disappears at midnight. Don't miss it. You could win 17 guns. I mean, the odds are against that you're going to win every single day. But if you can swing it, go ahead and try. It's Glenn at 87222. 87222. Win the gun today. And then sign up tomorrow for tomorrow's gun. It's Glenn at the number 87222. Do it now.
And join BlazeTV.com. Go to BlazeTV.com/Glenn. Use the promo code free speech. You're going to save $30. It's important to protect free speech.
Hello, America. From coast to coast, this is the Glenn Beck Program. Yesterday, Stu, I went through a new poll about conspiracy theories, and it's rather disturbing if you look at it, the way it was written and the way it was answered. But I want to go through it first with you. Tell me you agree or disagree. Moon landing was faked.
I disagree. I do not think
11%. Right. 11% say that it was. Government is using chemtrails or chemicals in order to control the population.
No.
20% of Americans, 19%, say that they are. That's a crazy number.
Yeah, that's a more popular conspiracy theory than I realized.
Yeah. Illuminati secretly controlling the world, 21%.
No.
Climate change is a hoax.
Like this,
don't think, just respond.
I mean, we've done too much on this for me to not parse it a little bit. I mean, I think climate change is a hoax is essentially shorthand by many mm-hmm. Republicans and people on the right for saying mm-hmm. a lot of different things. But I mean, I think it's a hoax? I would say I don't think it's a hoax. No. I mean, it's not a okay. hoax, but it is, there's correct. A massive problems with it, and that's how people shorthand that point.
So far, you and I are in agreement. Climate change is a hoax. I kind of waver on because there's parts of it that are not. Mm-hmm. The change itself is not, I don't think. 9/11 was an inside job.
Absolutely not.
Okay, you disagree with 23% of Americans. The government is hiding aliens in Area 51.
No.
Okay, me neither. There is a deep state working against the U.S. President Donald Trump and his supporters. Don't think.
I mean, as a conspiracy theory, no, I don't think that's I don't think that that's it. Another one I'd love to parse for another 5 minutes here, but I.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Last one. Lee Harvey Oswald did not act alone in assassinating JFK.
So it's a double negative here. So I'm saying he did act alone. So, yeah.
No, he did not act alone right. in assassinating.
Right. So I'm saying, no, he did not act alone.
Okay. I think I follow. Okay. So you and I are in complete agreement. Yesterday, I answered these questions, but I just took in a lot of the assumptions and said, okay, well, I don't think he acted. I mean, I think he acted alone. You know, that's what I believe. However, I wouldn't be surprised to find out. So I went online and we did a survey, and you can still take this at glennbeck.com, and I'd love to see it. Now, 47% of the American people say Lee Harvey Oswald did not act alone in assassinating JFK. Let me change the wording of this and see if it changes the percentage. I believe Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK alone. However, I would not be surprised to find out that the government sealed evidence that others were involved.
I would say
agree or disagree.
I would say yes to that. Now, you've converted me from a no to a yes on that one.
Right, because I don't know, and the government has such a bad reputation of hiding things that I don't know.
Right,
I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist, but I want to leave the door open.
Yeah, I don't think it's a conspiracy theory to think that additional evidence could be provided that changes your mind. This is how you're supposed to operate in every circumstance.
Okay, if by deep state, the second one, give me the percentages of how it turned out.
So
on the first one,
originally
Harvey Oswald.
Originally, it was 47% say they believed in that conspiracy theory. The way you worded it was 85%.
Okay. Why? Because it's not forcing you into a conspiracy theory or denying the fact that there are parts of it that are not covered in this. And you're like, oh, well, I don't know. That's not quite right. But do you know what I mean?
Right.
If by deep state you mean longtime Washington power brokers who are used to calling the shots and now feel threatened by Donald Trump not listening to their advice or counsel, yes, I do believe that many people like that are working against him and his administration.
I mean, basically proven, right? I mean, you know that. They've bragged about it in op-eds. Right, they've said they didn't put things on his desk. Like, there's lots of examples of this, and that one initially
it went from 29% originally to
98% of our audience says yes to that, and that's what I think is fair. Like, I mean, like, you look at that and you say, not only have you seen people in the FBI who outwardly were, you know, trashing Trump, and they're not, you know, to each other at least in private texts. You have people who've written op-eds about it. You've seen large exposés of these types of behaviors in books and where they're presenting it as positive, like Donald Trump's crazy, so we stepped in to stop him. Well, that's not how an administration is supposed to operate. So I think that's fair, as long as you're just defining it. You're not defining it as like some group of, you know, Dr. Evils somewhere, which is how it's presented. You know, I think that is absolutely, I mean, we've already seen evidence of this.
So I am not, I don't believe that aliens are in Area 51 or spaceships. Personally, I don't believe that. However, instead of saying the government is hiding aliens in Area 51, 27%, I think the average person feels more like this. Whether alien bodies are in Area 51 or not, I do believe the government knows more about UFOs than they have told us.
Right, and we just have seen reporting on this, right? This is the, they've just, we've had people from inside these government offices.
The government.
Say, yeah, they say like, yeah, we know that they're real. We don't know what they are yet. We don't necessarily know they're from outer space or anything like that, but we do know that these things have occurred many times. We've seen video of this recently. 27% said that initially to that, and 82% of the audience, when you worded it that way, said, yeah, I'm on that one.
You're just flipping things. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just flipping it upside down. Okay, the next one is 9/11 was an inside job, and 23% of the American people agreed with that. I do not. Now, let me word it this way. I do not believe the U.S. government was involved in 9/11. But as we do know, NSA advisor Sandy Berger was caught destroying documents from the National Archives related to both Bush, Clinton, and the Saudis. All administrations have been too close to the Saudis, and the Saudis were involved on 9/11 at some level. Now this, what? It's gone from
23% to 80%. I mean, this one you actually do outwardly say the conspiracy theory isn't true, right? You're saying, I do not believe the government was involved in 9/11. So you're going to capture a lot of people, I think, by... It is a somewhat a different question, I think, at that level. But the idea that there were people covering their butts because they knew they looked bad and they didn't want certain things to come out, I mean, I think that's a thing a lot of people believe. And we seem to find those things out later on all the time. You know, whatever situation is a major story 20 years ago, you know, I mean, look at the Martin Luther King thing for a second. There is a report that came out from the FBI that said he was present and laughing at an ongoing rape. And there's supposedly audio tape of it. And we find that out, you know, how many years after we get a U.S. holiday for the guy? I mean, you know, again, he did a lot of great things. There's no question about it. But I don't know that he gets a U.S. holiday if he's, you know, laughing at a woman being raped. Probably not a Me Too situation there.
Yeah. Might have been important information to have before we voted on the holiday.
Fair.
All right. 22% say climate change is a hoax. All right. I wrote, I believe the climate is always changing. It's natural. I'd be willing to accept that man may play a role in this, but I do not believe in the solutions currently being discussed, nor do I believe the intention of most political activists are pure.
Yeah. So it's 22% initially. Now 97% of your audience believes that.
97%. The George or the Illuminati is secretly in control of the world. 21%. I wrote, any talk of the Illuminati provides the true dangers to man's freedom, like very powerful NGOs and men like George Soros, a perfect cover.
Yeah, that goes from 21 to 91%. Though, again, I think that one has a little bit of a, it's a little bit of a different point you're making there. Like, that's, one is, do I believe in the Illuminati? The second one is, the Illuminati is just a cover for other bad groups. Those are sort of two different positions, but it's definitely one that, you know, you can look at and say, look, because it's true. I mean, if you don't believe in the Illuminati, and most don't, you look at that as just a distraction from actual problems.
I don't even
know
what the Illuminati is, right, for the love of Pete. I mean, I know the Illuminati existed, you know, what, in the 15, 1600s? Come on. All right. The government is using chemicals to control the population through chemtrails. 19% agree with that. That's crazy.
That's higher than I would have expected, because that feels like even fringy for conspiracy theorists.
Yeah. Here is the score on that, and here's how I reworded that. The U.S. government has done horrible experiments on people and our land. I also suspect that they will do more things like that in the future. but I don't believe in the systematic spraying of chemicals using chemtrails.
Initially, 19% said they believe in the chemtrails thing, 83% in the way that you worded it.
So, you... Okay. The moon landing was real, but I see a time coming when people will not be able to trust their eyes due to deep fakes.
I mean, that is an... I don't know how you disagree with that one. 96% of the audience agreed with that one. I mean, the only reason you would disagree with that is if you think the moon landing wasn't real. Right? If you think the moon landing wasn't real, you couldn't agree with that statement. But as 4% of our audience apparently did. But, you know, if it goes from 11 to 96% when you reword it that way. The wording makes a lot of difference in polls.
What was the strongest result?
I mean, between deep state, not landing on the moon, and climate, those are the three strongest ones. Where our audience obviously is going to be skeptical of the solutions presented by the government for climate change, which they should be. Also, you know, the idea that deepfakes, I mean, I don't know if there's any audience in America that's more prepared for what's happening, what's coming with deepfakes. We've been talking about it for multiple years, way before it became, you know, a serious topic talked about in the news.
I remember talking about it seriously and having, you know, friends and advisors going, Glenn, you lose your audience every time you talk about this stuff. This is just sounds ridiculous. And I'm like, I know, but it won't soon. It won't soon.
Right. And that's, we've seen that, you know, you see that with our ratings as we see them, you know, initially you talked about that stuff. It did not do well, but it now does because, you know, there's much more awareness about it. And people realize you were talking about it before everybody else. So it was a good indication as to someone who actually has put thought into it. But, you know, right. When it comes to the deep state is another big one. And we did an entire chalkboard series on the deep state and what it actually means. And it doesn't mean this idea that Dr. Evil is around somewhere trying to stop the Trump administration. What it means is like...
Yeah, it doesn't mean the media would like to make that into the star chamber. Mm-hmm. But I don't think most people look at it as a star chamber. There's no meetings in darkened rooms with everybody getting together and saying, all right, corporations, are you all in? Yes, master. I mean, it's not that way. It's just people who like their power that do not want to get rid of their power, don't want to cede it, and perhaps even think that the president is wrong. Maybe it's about more than power, and they decide he's dangerous, he's got to go, and they'll find like-minded people to work with them to thwart him in any way that they can. And when we come back after the top of the hour, we have still time. When we come back in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to show you evidence of that. I think if I can find it in the stack of all my paperwork, I'll show it to you. Coming up, just a sec. Sponsor this half hour is Norton Security. Norton Security is a name that we've all known for a long, long time. They have been securing our computers for forever, ever since I can remember. It's a name that we can trust. Now, Facebook, not so much. Facebook came out with a VPN because they said, you know, people are following you and people are watching what you're doing. They know that VPNs are a thing of the future. So they wanted to get in early and be a trusted name in VPNs, virtual private networks. Well, people were onto them. People knew that what they were doing was they were getting the exclusive jump on you. They'd be the only ones that would have your information that they could use and then also sell. People didn't like that too much. That business just went out of business. Norton Secure... is a company that we have grown to trust. They have said they're not selling the information. They're not gathering the information. They are only providing a virtual private network for you. It's really easy to use. All you have to do is just download the app, put in the passcode one time, and it goes to all of your devices, and you're on a virtual private network. only from Norton. Norton Secure VPN. Protection starts at $333 a month. Head to norton.com/VPN. That's norton.com/VPN. So let me give you this. The Democrat from Tennessee, Steve Cohen, talked about impeachment. And he said, the main reason I'm interested is not so much to win the Senate, which is a byproduct. It's because I think he's committed impeachable offenses and he needs the scarlet eye on his chest. The only reason why they're doing this is to discredit him for his next term, just like they discredited him on the first term before he even got into office. That's what this is all about. That's deep state.
Is the Glenn Beck Program. The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
Well, YouTube has apologized to the gay and lesbian community for the hate mongering of Steven Crowder. So they have apologized and they said they're sorry. And Steven Crowder came out yesterday and said the exact opposite. I'll show you what's coming. In 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, let me tell you about our sponsor this half hour. Our sponsor is Relief Factor. If you're in pain, there's a three-week quick start. I drove across the country this weekend, and altitude greatly affects me. I have a hard time flying in a plane. It causes an awful lot of pain. Don't ask why. Oh my gosh. Can you hear this? Listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, did you hear that? That's that cow. We have this cow. I'm up at the ranch. We have this cow that I thought was sick. It's a bull. We have three bulls. There he is. Listen. And I was like, something is wrong with our bull. Now, you know, I'm a city rancher, okay? When I say rancher, I mean I own the dump and somebody else does all the work, okay? Mm-hmm. So I come up, we move the, yeah, the American way. So I'm creating jobs. So I call the rancher and I said, something's wrong with our bull. And he said, what? And I said, I've never heard a cow sound like this. He said, does he sound like a donkey? And I said, yes. And he said, yeah, he just wants some.
He just wants some?
And this, yeah, you know what I mean? He wants a slice of some cow pie. And so, while that doesn't sound right.
So this is essentially...
He's looking for some romance.
It's the equivalent of a honk if you're horny bumper sticker. Like he's actually honking.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay.
And so this one, we have three bulls. The other two are fine. This guy is like, wants some all the time. He must be a teenager because he's like midnight, 2 a.m., 7 in the morning, noon. It doesn't matter. He's always going for it. And I just say, God bless you. But none of the ladies seem to be interested. They're all just like, nah, not interested. Kind of feel bad for him in some ways. Anyway, Relief Factor. So I was traveling and altitude bothers me and I'm up way up in the mountains. It snowed up here on Saturday. And that cow does not want a slice of me. Anyway, this is impossible to do. I think we have to close the windows. Anyway, Relief Factor has helped me through my pain up here in the high altitudes, and it can help you. It's created by doctors. It's 100% drug-free. The three-week quick start is $19.95. It's a dollar a day. It's like a trial pack. 70% of the people who try the three-week quick start. Look at that guy. Man, he is just like, come over here. I want some. 3 week quick start, 70%. Go on to order more. Try it now. It's relieffactor.com. I might give it to that bull. Relieffactor.com. Because it's gotta be painful at this point. The only talk show host that's dumb enough to let cows be heard on the radio. So
that's
welcome
you
to it.
That's our new slogan.
The cow, the cow goes,
calm down, dude.
All right. All right. So let me just go through a couple of things. First of all, yesterday, do we have the audio of the YouTube CEO that is apologizing for what is going on and apologizing to the gay community?
None of us want harmful content on our platforms. I think last quarter alone, we removed 9 million videos from the platform. More recently, we have introduced, you know, just like today, we do this in search. We, you know, we rank content based on quality. And so we're bringing that same notion and approach to YouTube so that we can rank higher quality stuff better and really prevent borderline content, content which doesn't exactly violate policies which need to be removed, but which can still cause harm. And so we are working hard. It's a hard computer science problem. It's also a hard societal problem because we need better frameworks around what is hate speech, what's not, and how do we as a company make those decisions at scale and get it right without making mistakes.
Mm-hmm. So basically do the impossible, but do it surrounded by really radical liberal progressives and democratic socialists. I'm sure you're going to get that. I'm sure you're going to get that delicate balance right. And that delicate balance is to go ahead and make sure that you get the borderline content. So not the content that has violated anything, but the content that just doesn't feel right. Oh, that sounds like it's going to be easy for you. Steven Crowder said, I'm not sorry about what I did. Here's Steven Crowder.
I'm not sorry. I'll tell you what I am, though. I am grateful. I am really grateful to the outpouring of support that we've seen from people. Let me sort of explain this a little bit. You know, we offered the promo code free speech for $30 off for everybody who joined Mug Club through the weekend with a student, veteran, active military discount so that everyone could get it. More people joined Mug Club than in the company's history. And I'm so grateful. But something interesting happened. Over half of you who joined didn't use the promo code. And I've received so many messages, emails from people saying, well, we wanted to pay full price just because we want to support what it is that the team is doing, and I really appreciate it. I do want to clarify, though, the promo code is there to be used. So if you have a hard time affording the $99 a year, if that's a stretch, please take advantage. I'm actually going to extend the promo code all the way through Tuesday night free speech. You still get the full $30 off. But I didn't want to go without thanking you guys. And I have some other people that I would like to thank. And something I'd like to clarify with you guys. By the way, the reason I'm taping this on my phone is because I'm about to hop on a plane taping a thematically appropriate Change My Mind, given the current circumstances. Ooh, if I were an auteur, that would be foreshadowing. And for people who just joined Mug Club, tonight there still is, we pre-taped a full one-hour life advice segment, so that is going up right now. But I wanted to thank everyone on YouTube specifically, not just Mug Club members, and not just people at Daily Wire, you know, Ben Shapiro, Andrew Klavan, Michael Knowles, all of them, thank you so much. And of course, everyone at The Blaze, like Mark Levin and Glenn Beck and Roaming Millennial. But people over here at YouTube who really aren't necessarily... I have to switch arms. Gosh, I need to work on my shoulder endurance. This is embarrassing. People who aren't even necessarily political, people who wouldn't agree with our politics, but covered this anyway, because you understand the context, you understand the issue that all of us are facing. People like not only Tim Pool and Joe Rogan, but people like Keemstar and Philip DeFranco, anyone who I've forgotten, I really do appreciate it.
So he makes a really good point that more people are coming out than just conservatives. People are starting to be really concerned. For instance, the news industry has now joined calls for increased scrutiny of big tech. Struggling news industry is joining calls to increase oversight of tech giants like Facebook and Google, urging policymakers to also take into account how Silicon Valley has upended its business of journalism. The antitrust investigation into tech giants will hold a hearing on Tuesday to hear from industry leaders and advocates who believe that Silicon Valley is responsible for the decline in local newspapers and has threatened the business models relied on by many outlets. Now, I don't agree with this reason. I mean, that is honestly like the carriage companies saying, I don't like these car companies. They're getting too big. They're putting us out of business. Well, yeah, because I thought you were progressive, progress. I thought you were for that. I don't want a newspaper. I want to be able to just grab it online. Now, yes, it upends your business practices, but I go back to, if anybody remembers, you're my age, you'll remember if you bought a GM or any GM car, it said on the door plate, as you would step out, it had a little picture of an old carriage, and it said the Fisher Carriage Company. That's what GM was before it became General Motors. It was the Fisher Carriage Company. And they were making carriages, and they decided, you know, we either got to join them or they're going to crush us. And so they stopped making horse-drawn carriages and started making cars. That's what companies should do. When you start to see the progress, you get out of the way and you join them in the next century, or you're going to go out of business. So the industry is calling for more scrutiny, and they're asking the Democrats to help them. That is always the last sign before an industry goes out of business. They ask for government protection so they don't go out of business. It doesn't work. It retards progress. Did he say the word retard? Oh my gosh, that is awful. He is so politically incorrect. Yes, I know. And I might use it again in the same context later. So what is YouTube saying that they're going to do? Well, yesterday I did about an hour on this New York Times story, making of a YouTube radical, algorithms in the alt-right. And on the alt-right, believe it or not, was Dave Rubin and Ben Shapiro and Jordan Peterson. That's the alt-right to the New York Times. So they show that they have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. And they say towards the end that YouTube has played a role in steering a lot of people towards the far right fringes. And it suggests that in time, YouTube is, listen to this, capable of steering them in a very different direction. Now, hang on just a second. What? You're going to steer people? This is Cass Sunstein's nudge. This is Bernays and original propaganda. This is moving people. This is everything you should worry about in a Big Brother situation. That Big Brother watches you, knows everything about you, and Big Brother will eventually shoot you if it has no other choice. But Big Brother will nudge you, will push you into the direction it wants. Well, I got news for you. YouTube is not some charity. It's not run by Mother Teresa. They want views. They want to control all of the views. And so they'll do what's best for them. So what are they doing? They said, in response, YouTube executives announced that the recommendation algorithm would give more weight to watch time rather than views. That way, the creators would be encouraged to make videos that users would finish. And users would be more satisfied. YouTube would be able to show them more ads. The bet paid off. Within weeks of the algorithm change, the company reported overall watch time was growing even as the number of views shrank, according to the 2017 report. So it grew by more than 50% a year for three consecutive years. A month after its algorithm tweak, YouTube changed its rules to allow all video creators to run ads with their videos and earn a portion of the revenue. Previously, only popular channels that had been vetted by YouTube were able to run ads. Neither change was intended to benefit the far right, no kidding. And YouTube's algorithm had no inherent preference for extreme political content. Remember, extreme is Ben Shapiro and Dave Rubin. It treated a white nationalist monologue no different from an Ariana Grande cover or cake icing tutorial. But at the far right, they were well positioned to capitalize on the changes. Many right-wing creators also made long video essays or posted video versions of their podcast. Their inflammatory messages were now more engaging than the milder fare, and they could earn more money from their videos, and they had a financial incentive to churn out as much material as possible. A few progressive YouTube channels flourished from 2012 to 2016, but they were dwarfed by the creators on the right, who had developed an intuitive feel of the way YouTube's platform worked and were better able to tap in the emerging wave of right-wing populism. This is YouTube looking at this and saying, we're going to punish those who are good business people. We're going to punish people who America wants to watch, because we're not about ratings. No, we're above that. We're about messages. Now they're going a step further, and they are changing the algorithm to steer you away from messages like mine or Ben's or Jordan Peterson's or Steven Crowder's. Watch carefully, because you're being manipulated right now. All right, we break for 60 seconds. Let me tell you about our sponsor. It's American Financing.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
All right, so the Fed has signaled that they may drop interest rates again at their meeting later this month. They're talking about possibly going to zero. That's going to make the stock market just shoot through the sky. It's going to pretty much set us up for yet another 1929 disaster. When money is cheap, people will use that money to take risks, and they will. And it will work for a while. We may have a melt up. That's what I've been predicting for a couple of years, is not a meltdown, but a melt up. The reason that the Fed is reducing rates is because although the economy is doing great, they see signs of slowing and have no other option to keep the economy growing. But I caution you, don't buy into this, please. If the interest rates go down, don't get a bigger house, because it won't last forever, and financial trouble eventually will come. A great place to start is the salary-based consultants at AmericanFinancing.net. If you're looking to get out of a high-interest credit card and you want a consolidation loan, you want to get out of an adjustable mortgage and into a fixed rate, now may be the best time to do it. It's AmericanFinancing.net, AmericanFinancing.net, or you can just pick up the phone and call them. A 10-minute phone call can start the process. 800-906-2440. Call them now, 800-906-2440, AmericanFinancing.net. 10 seconds, station ID. So I just want to show you that because it's Pride Week, the CEO of YouTube came out and said he was really, really sorry. He had to apologize to the gay community for what Steven Crowder did. He was wholly inappropriate. I want to play some audio here on the Gay Pride gathering in Washington, D.C. The question was, what is the biggest threat to gay rights? Here's what the gay pride paraders had to say.
We're asking what people think the biggest threat to gay rights is in America today. Why are you out here today?
I haven't been, and I've lived in this area my entire life, so I went all out. Titties out.
We're here to celebrate our identities, our sexual identities, our gender identities, our expression.
What do you think the biggest threat to gay rights is today?
Straight people?
I think you could say this administration right now. That's all I'm going to say. And I think our current administration.
Donald Trump, yeah. Donald Trump.
The police?
first and foremost.
Our current political establishment.
Absolutely.
I think the biggest threat is the Trump administration.
What do you think the bigger threat to gay rights is in America? Radical Islam or Donald Trump?
Yeah. I mean, I think we all know the answer to that one.
The big orange thing sitting in the White House.
Yeah, the him.
Radical Islam or Donald Trump?
I live under a rock. I would probably say Trump.
Donald Trump.
Sounds like a trick question to me because they both got issues.
Trump and his administration have casted multiple threats on our an entire race. Honestly, Trump is a white supremacist and all he cares about is white people and white power.
White straight people.
He has no, he gives no f**ks about anyone other than white people.
F**k it, I am who I am. If you don't like it, f**k it.
Oh, regardless of those two options, what is the biggest threat to gay rights in this country today?
I would say it comes down to a humane rights issue.
The white power that involves this country is disgusting. I think white power should be released from this country, and I think that Trump and his administration perpetuate a system of racism that is institutionalized, and black people and people of color are absolutely marginalized and really just like criminalized for no reason. And I think that it's all because of Trump and his administration.
How's your Cortez?
What we need is people in power, not just the president, but like Congress, to stand behind like people that aren't just straight white men. Yeah.
Straight white men, for sure.
Yeah. I'm here as an anti-capitalist, as anti-police, anti-military. I'm here to celebrate the original meaning of pride. So I'm here protesting the cops in the parade. I'm here protesting the military in the parade. And I'm here celebrating my identity and my friends as well.
They don't want Republicans. Basically, they don't want to see equal rights. They don't want to see anyone thriving.
Okay. All right. I think we've heard enough. God. Now,
have we heard enough from Ocasio-Cortez here? Ocasio-Cortez attends a parade.
These are the people that YouTube is apologizing to. Really? Which one is hate speech? Which one? I don't know. I got feelings. Says no. Might be a problem there. All right. Our sponsor this half hour is LifeLock. Recent survey found that privacy is the number one concern about smart home devices. 68% of responders say they believe that smart home devices listen to you when you're not aware and share the data with companies. They absolutely do. They have admitted this. Alexa is listening and recording, and they have humans going through all of that. Wait a minute. That's not what I signed up for. That's not what you told me before. We know this to be true. Most of your life will be recorded by a speaker somewhere in your house. That's what's coming. Lots of threats in today's connected world. It takes one weak link for criminals to get in and destroy your identity. Identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web, any of your information. There's LifeLock there to protect you, and a U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it if there is a problem. Nobody can monitor everything, but they're the best. Go to LifeLock.com, promo code Beck. Save 10%. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com.
Go to BlazeTV.com/Glenn. Sign up. Free speech needs to be protected. Use the promo code FREESPEECH. Get $30 off.
To whom it may concern at the Glenn Beck program. I like Glenn, and I agree with him 90% of the time. However, once again, he stepped over the line. Anyone who openly hates cats, I believe, are very insecure and, quote, hates cats because they are independent and cannot be controlled. No, that's not why I hate cats. Just my opinion, but I have learned not to totally trust anyone who does not like or at least appreciate cats. And I take offense to this. I take umbrage to this because I do appreciate cats. They make a very delicious stew, and it's perky. Dogs.
Are you just trying to ruin the life of the people who check our email? That's it. It's just
Yes, you want them dead. That's all I try to do. I know. I feel like cats, take them or leave them. I really don't care. Well, leave them because I hate them. Dogs are liberals. Listen to this. Dogs are liberals. They're totally dependent on their owners and exhibit blind, panting faith. Cats are conservatives and more than capable of surviving on their own and are not dependent on handouts. Yes, but just like a liberal, they're usually on my kitchen counter looking for my food. And yes, and don't tell me some San Francisco hippie would not be jumping up on your counter.
And we should point out, anyway, by the way, that dogs, I mean, look at Chernobyl. There's dogs ranging around there all the time. They're not getting fed by anybody. They've moved into the system. They've learned to be good members of society, so they are fed by humans. But if they are not fed by humans, they're not going to just collapse. They go out and they find their food.
Cats expect to be treated on equal terms, and I love that about cats. Well, Mr. Smith, as if that is your real name, you couldn't be more wrong. And I just want you to know that it is my deep belief. Google this real quick, Stu. Mm-hmm. It is my deep belief that cats are liberals and dogs are conservatives. More conservatives like dogs and more liberals like and have cats. I think that's... No matter what the study actually says, that's universal truth.
Well, you will be happy to hear, Glenn, that the study and science backs you up on this. There is a, under the very clever Democrats and Republicans, you find...
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
You find, here's the top 10 states for cat ownership. 10, Ohio, okay, purple state. 9, New York. 8, Pennsylvania. 7, New Hampshire, then 6, not a state, but District of Columbia, 5, Connecticut, 4, Vermont, 3, Maine, 2, Maryland, and number 1, Massachusetts. So, for cats.
What is this telling you? Mm-hmm. They're not just liberals, they're democratic socialists.
And for dogs, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So you got Georgia, Missouri, Tennessee, Arizona, Mississippi, Louisiana, Oklahoma, the top 3 for dogs, Texas, New Mexico, Arkansas. I mean, I think the science
tells me between New Mexico and Texas, they're independent thinkers. They're independent thinkers and definitely conservative, maybe even libertarian. I'm just saying. I believe my dog may have voted other a few times.
You've sorted this out finally with the assistance of science.
So, there you go. All right, let me give you a story. You know, did you see the helicopter crash that happened yesterday?
Yeah, in New York.
In New York City. Yeah, really, really tragic. But not as tragic as the first real helicopter crash that happened in 1977. Now, this guy, we don't know what was wrong exactly, but he was having trouble over the water. For some reason, instead of throwing it into the drink, he tries to cut across Manhattan and land on a building, which was insanity. He unfortunately passed away, and there were some real problems yesterday. I hate to say this, but my thoughts and prayers are with those in New York, because they're kind of had a little flashback about 9/11 yesterday. New York's a very weird place, and anything in the sky makes you skittish when you live in New York. But let me tell you this. In fact, I want to read the story from the New York Times from 1977. This is the day after it happened. New York Airways helicopter idling on a heliport atop the Pan Am building in Midtown Manhattan keeled over on a broken landing gear yesterday afternoon, and a huge rotor blade snapped off and slashed 4 people, cut them in half, before coming to rest 59 stories below and a block away on Madison Avenue. A 5th victim died later at Bellevue Hospital. The whirling like a giant boomerang, the blade struck 4 people on the rooftop landing pad, killing 3 of them by cutting them in half instantly and plunging over the skyscraper's west side. About halfway down the gray tower, the blade crashed into a window and broke in 2. One piece of a blade continued to fall, whirling onto Madison Avenue and killing a woman walking on Madison shortly after 5:30 p.m., the height of evening rush hour. At least 7 persons were killed, 5 seriously. 3 of the injured were a man, his wife, and their young son. Most were said to have been struck by the runaway rotor blade or by fragments of it or the shattered window of the Pan Am building. Authorities say the emergency medical crews encountered delays of 45 minutes of getting the injured out of the building because the elevators had been shut down on the upper floors. It was the first major accident at the controversial helicopter landing site above the tower, which rises above the ornate Grand Central Terminal on Park Avenue. The heliport was used for 26 months, but service was stopped in 1968, principally because it wasn't profitable, and flights were resumed only last February. Now, this story is being written in 1977. When the Blaze was looking for property in New York, we actually went up to the top of what was the Pan Am building. It's now the MetLife building. And because I wanted to build a glass cube studio on top of that roof, right where that airport was, just to say screw you to all the New York elites. For some reason, they didn't want me to build that. But we went in, and it is still looks like a 1960s airport lounge. It's like 3 stories tall. And then you take an elevator to go up to the roof, and you see this like bubble top of strong, you know, bulletproof glass, where the flight tower and the, you know, pretty much is where all of the air traffic controllers were. That's all been stripped out, and it's now FBI possibly. Equipment. It's all listening devices and monitoring and radio devices that was installed after 9/11. So there's nothing on that roof anymore except that lobby of this pan. I mean, it's like walking into a time tunnel. It's a little like walking into like what I think Chernobyl would be today. Just creepy and old and a time capsule. They say in this story, the accident occurred only a minute after the aircraft landed, after a flight from Kennedy International Airport. Its 20 passengers had disembarked, and a half dozen of the 21 new passengers had gone aboard. Suddenly, the right front landing gear crumpled, and the huge aircraft toppled on its right side near the northeast corner of the rooftop. Witnesses said scenes of horror ensued. Windows along its side shattered. One of the 4 20-foot blades of the mass horizontal rotor broke off. The blade and shards of glass were hurled into the small crowd of people waiting to board the aircraft. Many flung themselves down. Others were cut down. There was nothing but screaming metal and glass flying, one said. Everyone threw themselves to the floor, and there was blood all over everyone. It was terrible. I heard great sounds of and glass was blowing all over us. Some of the victims were cut into pieces. Shortly after the accident, the rooftop was a scene of carnage. Blood-splattered clothing and newspapers pressed the roof. It was littered with toiletry kits, magazines, books, all torn apart and bloodied. Nearby, a cart filled with baggage stood intact. After slashing through the group on the roof, the blade and the glass shards tumbled down toward Vanderbilt Avenue at the base of the skyscraper's west facade. After breaking off in a window halfway down, part of the blade hurled down, according to a fire lieutenant, and killed the woman on Madison Avenue. Other pedestrians were cut by falling glass. Can you imagine seeing this? Can you imagine the horror in 1977 of this helicopter? I mean, luckily it did not fall over the side. Parts of the helicopter yesterday did fall over the side. And those streets, people, the guy yesterday said that he was in, I'm trying to remember the name of the place he was in, but he was in a lobby of something, and there was huge glass windows, and he said that he thought it was like a hailstorm. He said it lasted 3 minutes of just glass coming down into the streets. 3 minutes. Imagine being on the street.
It's incredible. Right, this is why we don't. This is the story why they got rid of the helipads, right?
Helicopters. Yeah, yeah. That's why you cannot fly over in New York City. You need special permission to do it. We've done it a couple of times, but that's because I know Bill O'Reilly. We were on our way to give a speech someplace, and I had never flown over New York and always wanted to, but you can't do it. And Bill's like, oh, yeah, we can. Magda, call ahead. Tell them we want to fly over New York. And so we flew over the city, which was crazy. And then on the way back, he said, you want to see the Statue of Liberty like nobody else? And I'm like, sure. So we got really close to the head of the Statue of Liberty. I thought we were going to be shot out of the sky. If people would have known who was in the helicopter, I think we would have been.
Especially in New York.
But we flew around the head of the Statue of Liberty. I mean, it's knowing Bill O'Reilly does have his advantages.
I will say I was listening. At least I was surprised to hear that, like, I guess because after 9/11, they did do a lot of the banning. You couldn't fly. I remember being there after 9/11 and seeing planes and occasional helicopters flying over the city. It was like weird because the only time you've ever seen that, unless you live in New York and are there all the time, is when you've seen like the footage of right before 9/11 when you see a plane fly over the city. It's like you don't see that view very often. So it's shocking.
Do you remember we just had started war in, I don't know, Iraq, I think, and we were in New York and President Bush was coming. Do you remember when they were flying the jets low over the rivers? Do you remember that day?
I don't.
Yeah, they used to fly every once in a while. They would do training missions. And if the president would come in, they would just lock the city down. And they flew these jets over the water, over the bridges, and then down towards the water, really close. And everybody who had been there for September 11th was freaking out because the last time they saw that was on 9/11. And it was freaky, even if you didn't see it, because you're not used to any kind of plane being that close to the city. They just don't do it anymore.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. I was listening to some aviation expert talking about this particular crash, and they said now they have in place for helicopters what they call visual flight rules, which essentially is you have to stay under the cloud, and you have to be, I think it's 500 feet was the limit, and then you just basically have to just not hit the buildings. It's like the policy.
Right.
It's like, wait, right. Really? That's the policy?
That's
New York
the policy?
City? That's what they said. Visual
really?
Flight rules.
Really? You can fly over now?
Yeah, essentially. I guess they must have loosened it after the immediate aftermath of 9/11. Yeah.
The guy should not have been flying over the city, I think, for multiple reasons. But one of which is he was in the clouds. And you don't know. You're flying in the clouds in New York City. All of a sudden, a building is right in front of you. All right, new from Goldline. I want to talk to you about our sponsor. It is Goldline. Goldline has a new four-coin collection of 1881 $5 Liberty coins from the U.S. These were the ones that the people in the 1880s out west, when they were playing poker and they threw gold down, that was their money. That's what they were carrying around. Goldline has acquired an old-time hoard of these coins, not a large quantity, but enough to make a special offer for Goldline customers. It's the $5 gold coin. It's the half eagle. It was used heavily during the 1800s. Our country was strong. It was expanding into the Midwest, initiating new projects with the money from the East. These are historic coins. In fact, so historic, the electric iron was invented using this money. The Wharton School of Finance was established using these coins. The Barnum and Bailey Circus became an American institution. The Wild West saw the gunfight at the OK Corral in Tombstone, Arizona, when this was in people's pockets. This is a piece of history that you can own. This is also the kind of coin that I buy. Please consider gold and silver. Consider these old coins. Ask Goldline why I buy them. It's goldline.com. Go to goldline.com. I would call them. Now, even if you own gold, this is something that you can update with. This is really, this is a really special offer. Call 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE, or goldline.com. Welcome to the program. So there's a new book out today, and I know everybody's going to be rushing to avoid it. It's the new Jim Acosta book, which he's been, you know, he's warning the conservatives, hey, you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to control the White House forever. Yeah, I know that. And Jim, I've got a warning to you and your publisher. I don't think you're going to sell any more than 1,600 books this week. Because, I mean, who really, seriously, who wants to be seen going in and out of a bookstore with a Jim Acosta book?
This is why they have Amazon.
Not even liberals. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, they won't
even
buy this.
You can hide your purchases.
They won't even buy this. No, they won't buy this in secret. They won't. They won't. They're not interested in it. Who's interested in Jim Acosta?
You're listening to Glenn Beck.